Welcome to the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast. My name is Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. Today's episode brings you an interview with authors Blake and Raven Penn, who are married co-authors of the Skystone Chronicles. First up, though, is our weekly book giveaway. So, last week's giveaway winner is the user Tilly's World in my Discord server. And Tilly's World, you won the giveaway, so you get to choose from the menu. Everybody else, you can look at the menu and see how to win. There's a link in the show notes or the video description or whatever you want to call it. Now, to enter to win, you answer a question of the week, you guess a number, and you guess a letter for a two-book power-up. And the next winner... So I'm going to find out who won this. I'm going to check right before I publish the new question of the week when this podcast episode goes out. But the you can see... last week's number was 172, and the letter of the alphabet was O. And this is just how it goes. You know, you answer the question of the week for participation. You guess a number. The closest number wins. If your letter is within, it is the letter that I wrote down, or right before or right after it, then you get two books instead of just one. And... sorry, I have to remind myself, I'm not great with spitting out lists mentally, so I have to look at my notes to make sure that I remember everything. So, I've told you how to win. I need to write down the new number and letter, and I'm not trying to rig this at all, I promise. I don't even make up the numbers, so I'm going to look up random number generator, and I'm going to, the minimum is 1, the maximum is 1,000, and I'm going to hit generate, and that is the number that I have for this next contest, and then random letter comes from randomwordgenerator.com, and I want one letter from the English alphabet. Here comes one random letter, and that is the letter. So I'll be right back with the question of the week for this week. Actually, no. I had changed my mind. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes again. Yeah, the new question of the week is just for fun. Last week's question was, what do you look for in an online community such as a Discord server? And to be honest, I was looking for, how can I make you guys happier and make sure that everybody enjoys and engages in the Discord server? And I've gotten some good answers, and I'm going to look at the best way to implement those. I don't want to, blow up the number of channels that I have in my Discord server. So I might combine or split out, as the case may be. But yeah, I'm going to definitely do that. And again, I'm reminding myself, look at my notes. Okay, so the new question of the week, and you can win a book, a free print book. You can get one of mine. If you're watching the video, you can see that these are hardcovers, but the contest is for paperbacks, unless you're one of my supporters. If you're one of my supporters, then when you win, you can upgrade to a hardcover at no cost. I suppose if you're not one of the supporters, and I'm not promising this right now, but I think it would make sense if I can let you upgrade just for the cost difference. Not all titles are available for the upgrade from paperback to hardcover, because not all titles exist as hardcover. And that just depends on what the author has made available. But yeah, so there's my two books. There's this one, Hidden Destiny. This one, Thumos Rising. There's another one that I have that came from another author when I went to MarsCon last weekend, and I haven't unpacked it, so it's not here on video. But you can see the menu on grendhill.media/prizes, and the winner gets to choose. You just take your pick from those books. Anyway, so I'm talking a lot, sorry. So you can win one of those books, and all you have to do is answer the question of the week and guess a number in my Discord server. And the new question of the week, and you have until my next episode comes out and I post the new question of the week in the Discord. The new question of the week for January 24th until next week is, if you could, this one's just for fun. You know, last week, again, I was trying to learn something to make sure I have an engaging server, because I want people to be having a good time. But this one's just for fun. Like, talk about it, joke about it, whatever you want. But if you could have dinner with one fantasy character, who would it be and why? That's the question of the week. And if you're only here for winning books, then we'll see you next week. But moving on. So other announcements. Yes, I went to MarsCon last weekend. It was fun. I connected with some other authors. I connected with some fans. I met a good group of authors. I'm really glad that I went and met them, and you know, now we're communicating online, and we'll see if we collaborate in the future. We'll see. Nothing to announce at this point, though. You know, we just met each other. Upcoming cons or conventions. In February, I will be at FenCon in Dallas for Valentine's Day weekend. And the following weekend, Friday and Saturday, I will be at StoryCon in Salt Lake City. And then I will be at one more con in February. And I will announce which con that is next week, right here on the podcast. If you're dying to know right now, then you need to be one of my supporters, which you can do at ko-fi.com. There will be a link in the show notes. Or if you search for Grendhill, you'll find me. But those backers or subscribers, whatever the word you want to use, is automatically gain access to the hidden channel in my Discord server where I have posted. I keep that like really up to date. In fact, I'm going to another con in June that I've already paid for. It's set, and they already know where I'm going to be and what dates. So, there is some advantage to being a supporter. And sorry, look at my notes. Make sure I don't forget. My Kickstarter project. I've said before, the last thing I have going is the song that I promised for it. And I have done a little bit of work on it. I've had some things come up that have slowed me down, and I thought I was going to be able to really dive into it. But I did have something else come up, which causes a delay of 2 weeks. And unfortunately, like, looking at the calendar, looking beyond those 2 weeks, that's when I'm going to start traveling to go to some cons in February, which means that I wouldn't expect to have any finished product for this song earlier than mid-March. If I want to be realistic, mid-March or later. I'm going to try to work a bit while I'm on the road. I don't know if I'm going to get any opportunity, though. I don't think I'm going to have any kind of piano keyboard to work with. I have one, but it's not exactly portable. Not the one behind me. This one definitely isn't portable. Not like that, because it has the legs. But I have another one, but it's not really portable. And I mean, I'll be traveling, I'll be on the road, and I'll have other things to pay attention to. I'll bring my iwi on the road. I don't have it on the wall behind me right now, but my iwi is my electronic wind instrument. You can learn more about that if you want. It's really an interesting thing, and it's cool. But it's hard to work on compositional stuff on the road. At least for me, it is. I'm sure some people whip it out just fine. Like, who was it? Like, there's a story about Handel, or, you know, a lot of people pronounce it Handel, but he was German, so it'd be Handel. Georg Friedrich Handel composed his Messiah in some breakneck speed. Anyway, so, yeah, the song, probably not any earlier than mid-March to have any kind of finished product. Now, the interview today, as I said, is with Blake and Raven Penn, and my first question of the week for my weekly book giveaway was about them. I asked in my Discord server what I'm going to have these artists... artists isn't an incorrect word, but these authors on the podcast, what would you like to ask them? And so I got some questions, and so I got on the call with them and recorded, and I forgot to ask them the questions. I felt so dumb when I realized that I'd forgotten to ask them these questions that I got from the Discord. So I emailed them and got them back on the call. And I asked them these questions, and we had another great discussion. It was longer than I anticipated, so I'm breaking that out into its own episode. So those of you who posed these questions in the Discord server and I asked them these questions, that will be next week. That's going to be next week's episode of the podcast. This week, it was a really fun interview. They're a high energy couple, and you'll get to see me discover that we went to the same college. So that was fun. And yeah, I already gave you the question of the week. So go answer that in the Discord server. Guess a number between 1 and 1,000 in order to win a book next week. And throw in a letter of the alphabet to try to power it up to two books instead of one. And for now, enjoy the interview, and I'll see you next time on this podcast. All right, here I am with authors Blake and Raven Penn, who write the Skystone Chronicles. So Blake and Raven, why don't you tell us, like, let listeners get to know you and tell us about your author journey, how you came to start writing and yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. So I'm Blake.
Yep, I'm Raven.
And we have been writing together for almost...
Well, that's kind of how we met.
A
so
long time.
We've been married for 8 years now, and we actually met in college studying screenwriting. Okay. So that's kind of where our background and training is in screenwriting.
Mm-hmm.
But our dreams were a little more expensive than most indie filmmakers wanted to handle. So,
and we're technically doing a lot of playwriting sort of
yeah.
stuff. And actually, our first date, I took Raven to a play that I had written without telling her.
He didn't tell me he'd written it. He just took me to the play because he wanted to see if I genuinely liked the writing. He like didn't even care. It was actually like a series of like 10 mini plays. And like at the very end, he's like, so which one was your favorite? And I'm like, obviously this one. And he's like, oh good. I'm going to go up on stage and do a little talk back session as the writer of the one you liked best. So.
It was less date and more interview.
Yes, exactly.
She passed
but
the test.
I didn't know.
She passed the test. Oh wow.
I was perfectly relaxed though because I had no idea. So
yeah. It was a lot of fun, and it was cool because it was awesome to see her view on things, because even though she liked my writing best, mm-hmm. she had notes on it that I was like, oh, that would make it better. That would be really good too, you know? And it started kind of the spark of what ended up making us a writing team, which was recognizing that she was good at all of the things I was bad at, right? Yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah. Exactly. So he really excels in the world building and the logistics and making sure distances make sense. And then the plot comes together in a very like mental sort of way.
And action scenes.
Action scenes. Yes. He knows exactly what he wants to see from all the cool action scenes. Whereas I'm better at kind of the minutia with the characters, making sure their arcs flow really, really well and making sure that the flow of the story itself is really, really easy to read.
Okay.
So it's been a good balance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just talking about like keeping the characters straight and whatnot made me think of, I think I'll be publishing this episode next week. And whereas this Thursday's will be another one that I recorded just this morning, I talked to the guy who makes Plotter. Are you aware of Plotter?
I've heard of it.
Oh, I think I've seen ads for it or something.
Yeah.
Or I've heard people talk about it either way.
Yeah. Well,
it's Plotter without an E, yeah, right? P-L-O-T-T-R.
Plotter. Oh, Plotter, yeah. Yes.
Plotter. Plotter. Harry Plotter.
Oh, yes. You're oh, man.
I don't know if that was good or if that was bad. It was funny.
Control yourself.
Yeah, so like keeping characters straight. So I guess some people use software tools, whereas Blake, you use Raven. She does the...
That's right. Although that's the other thing is we kind of sometimes drive each other a little bit crazy in the different ways that we like to organize outlines. So we've had to kind of come together on that, give a little.
Okay. And so you were both studying screenwriting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
And yeah. Screenwriting, playwriting.
Yeah.
Also acting, but that's on the side.
Yeah.
So, and you said like you were tending to write things that would be expensive to produce. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, dragons are hard to put on screen.
Exactly. But when you write a novel, you can have a dragon crash through the castle and it doesn't cost anyone a cent.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did a lot of sketch comedy. And in that, I learned to write in a way that we could portray on stage, right? Where we would have to be very limited in our scope of like, okay, we can't have someone burst through a wall like the Kool-Aid man because we don't have a wall to break through, right?
Or a Kool-Aid man.
We could maybe cheat that in a couple ways, but you know what? It's going to be a whole lot easier if I make the entrance something a little less explosive.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But with novels, it's limitless because everything's taking place in the reader's brain. So you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had another question. Where were you going to school?
So we met at Brigham Young University.
Okay.
Yeah, Provo, Utah.
I've heard of that school. I think I visited once.
Oh, hey! Nice.
I was going to say, I spy a temple back there on the wall.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so for...
Is that one the San Diego temple?
Yeah.
Yeah, only the coolest temple.
Nice.
The Marine Corps took me to San Diego for several years.
Oh, wow. Nice. Cool.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
That is.
Yeah. So
that's way cool.
Yeah, I was at BYU. For listeners not watching on YouTube, I held up my BYU marching band blanket with my name embroidered on it.
Yeah. Marching band. Nice.
That's awesome, dude. So you were in the HVAC.
Oh, yeah. I lived in the HVAC. So I was a music
major. We were in the same building.
That's where we met. Yeah. That old HVAC that they tore down.
Yeah. I was so sad that when I learned that they were going to tear it down. And then my old clarinet professor kept posting pictures of, you know, here's this memory and this is going to go away. And he'd share the pictures on Facebook. And it was good to at least see that.
Like a slow funeral.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's cool, though. Yeah. That's awesome.
So nice. Let me guess. The series of 10 plays, whatever that, the first date, was that in the... Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of that auditorium.
If you know, I'll be so impressed.
Yeah.
It's underneath the Madsen. I don't remember the name of the auditorium.
Starts with an N?
No, I didn't.
It rhymes with Selkie.
Oh my gosh.
Well, there we go. Nelky.
Nelky Theater.
Yeah.
That's where we met. That's where we had our first date.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Yeah. I had a few dates upstairs from that in the Madsen Recital Hall. I had several dates across the atrium from that at the De Jong Concert Hall.
Oh, yeah. Nice. All these memories, man. I haven't heard these words in so long. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the...
That's awesome.
The practice room hallway. Mm. Oh, so, you know, you were all over on your side of the building. I was over on my side of the building. So maybe you never saw this, but there was a time when they posted signs in the hallway on the second floor. For anybody out there, this is below ground. Third floor is ground level. So that the practice room hallway was on the second floor. And it was a huge L-shaped hallway. And one of those hallways was parallel to the atrium. It ran north-south. And one time, these signs appeared in this hallway saying not to use these certain practice rooms during performances going on in the De Jong Concert Hall. And that's because I noticed one day, and I commented to my professor, and I guess word passed on, but I was in the De Jong Concert Hall enjoying, I don't know, Peer Gynt or something. But I could hear a piano beneath me. I could hear somebody practicing one of the grand pianos in the... Anyway.
That's probably part of why they wanted to redo stuff. But man, it was a cool building.
Yeah, and it was crumbling. It was...
Yeah. Very easy to get lost in, too.
True.
Made especially no sense. On the first floor in the deep basement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's cool.
All right, so fantasy from the HVAC.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Wow. Okay, and where are you living now? Are you in Utah still, or are you elsewhere?
Yep, Utah County. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna.
Yeah, and you?
I'm gonna be in Utah next month for StoryCon.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be at StoryCon.
Cool. I think we're two tables away from.
I looked. No, I found you in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. They mislabeled our name on the map that they sent everyone, but we're in there.
I haven't looked at the map yet.
Nice. Well, we're neighbors. We're going to see each other.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So walking down memory lane. So we were going to talk about dragon books and illustrations. I want to hear about illustrations. So you write the Skystone Chronicles. Can you tell me the premise of that series?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so if you take a Venn diagram with Aragorn, Mistborn, and Avatar the Last Airbender, our vibe hits right in the middle of that. So we're aiming toward upper YA. It's a action, adventure, heist, dragons, all the best things. The stuff we would have wanted to read as teenagers, like that would have kept us up all night reading. Mm-hmm. That's where we wanted to go. So
it's got a really, really intricate magic system that we think is super fun that ties into the world. And there's just all sorts of dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Like possibly the most dragons per capita of any book you'll ever read.
Exactly. Everything's a dragon. So we even have a page in the back where we illustrated like Asgardian creatures, and they're all draconic. You know, every animal is a dragon. So we've got dracoons, we've got
dracalopes,
alpacas, dragon moose. Everything is draconic. So we just kind of went overboard on the dragons, just because it was fun and it's awesome, and it just adds to this vibe. Mm-hmm. So,
and there's a group of half dragon people called Drakai.
Okay,
because we'd always liked like the kind of half dragon idea, not like a D&D dragonborn where it's like a dragon that's kind of in a humanoid place,
but more like if elves had a draconic twist, right? So they've got pointed ears, but they're scaly. They've got dragon horns, and they've got like scales lining their hairlines, their cheekbones, just draconic type people.
Makes me think a little bit like tiefling, but
a little bit tiefling-esque.
Yeah, closer to a tiefling than a dragonborn, just with all of the features being a draconic
based. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So our main character in our first book, Dragon Thief, is a halfborn. So he's his mom was one of the dragon people. His father was one of the Evgardians who live on the mainland, the regular humans. And so, yeah, he is hilarious. He's on an adventure to steal a true dragon egg, but Asher's only in it for revenge. It's a fun time.
Okay. And then, so yeah. You showed me some of those illustrations in the book. Tell me more about your illustrations.
So, illustrations. I was a children's book illustrator to kind of pay our way when we were first having kids and stuff a little bit.
Yeah, we were needing to get a new computer for Raven. And I was like, you're a pretty dang good artist. I think we're just going to get you an iPad and let's see what you can do. And she was like, I don't know. Would that really
it's
be
so
worth
it? It's so much money. Don't do it. But
and so we got her an iPad and she started doing like Inktober stuff and immediately started getting contracts.
Getting contracts for children's books and stuff. And so that was kind of a steady source of income for a while. And while it was super, super fun, my heart lies with writing. So I tried to transfer my skills into design and into illustration for kind of YA epic fantasy novels. Uh-huh. So I designed the covers for our book series. And then I designed the images in our, we're calling it the Guide to Evgard in the back of the book. So we've got little Guide to the Magic System back here with pictures and stuff. We've got that, Guide to Evgard. I made the maps for our world.
What do you use for formatting?
For the book itself, Atticus. And then she does all of
And then I do all the illustration in the Procreate app for iPad. So, yeah.
So how did you format the that page that you just showed me where you have some text and image and text?
Oh, yeah. Like this, these bad boys.
She made a font.
I designed a font. Oh, yes. Wow. Yep. Uploaded it into Procreate, the app on iPad, and then typed it all out, made it all fit and stuff. Uh-huh. Actually, the very first copies of Dragon Guard that we sent out, I hand wrote everything, and then it was all too small. And so when we scrapped that and got the real copies, I had to go back and redesign a font so that I could adjust it for the hardcover versus the paperback versus the ebook and all the different things. So there are a few people out there who have the original versions. They've got teeny tiny words in there. Yeah.
Handwritten by Raven Penn.
That's right. Yeah. Collector's edition.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you're making me think of, I have some typos in my book and I know that like, the first edition, the first several that got printed, I know that there's some typos out there. And in fact, there are two typos that I know of right now that I have not yet corrected. So my main character's name is Alavva, but there is a point where it says Alavva.
And nice.
Just a little hint of Elphaba from Wicked in there. It's trending right now.
Yeah.
And then...
nice.
Yeah. So... And you've got your little tiny handwriting. So
that's right. That's right. You learn things when you self-publish. You learn stuff.
It's true. Yeah. Man. Doing everything.
So like when I I have some poetry in here. It's not like I wax poetic, you know. It's just there's like this ceremony type thing and the invocation is kind of a poem and so when I went and did the formatting for that, I used Atticus. But oh, come on, where is that? Where's that first page? There it is. And so it you can see where it starts the poetry on the following page, and it leaves this blank area on the left page, and it really shouldn't be but that's because to get the poetry right, it's an image. I got the poetry right in Microsoft Word, did a screen grab, and then copied that over so that text is an image. And I did that again later in the book, except it was multiple stanzas, and so each stanza was an image. That was really annoying to deal with because there were like seven of them.
Yeah. And was this with Atticus a few years ago?
Last year. January of last year. See, and here it's the wrong size. It's too, like, you can see the font above.
Oh, yeah.
And then the font of the song. And then the song is definitely a larger font size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not supposed to be that way.
That's no.
Formatting is rough.
Yeah.
It's... That's what Blake does, the formatting, and I appreciate it. Yeah. He goes through and he checks every single page before we send it off. It's tedious, but I'm proud of you.
Incredibly tedious.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's That's been the other really good fun.
Thing about being a team, yeah, is he gets to do half the hard stuff. I get to do the other half of the hard stuff. So no one's carrying the brunt of misery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So my wife helps me mostly as a sounding board.
Nice.
But we have, you know, kids. So how old is your oldest kid?
So our oldest is 5 and the youngest is 10 months. So it's crazy.
Yeah. I can imagine there's going to be some chaos.
Oh, yes.
And fortunately, Raven is able to bring order to that chaos quite a bit because we work together in a really good way. We've had times where we've tried a couple of different ways of writing together. Like, we've had times where we had me writing a chapter and then her writing a chapter and trading off like that with different character perspectives. But we found that that was like a little bit too different.
It was too jarring between the different writing styles. And so we've had to figure out how to blend it together. And that usually means I'll write the scenes that I feel confident in my skills as writing, and then he'll fill in the gaps that I leave, and then I'll edit his stuff, he'll edit my stuff, and then we'll just go back and forth until it's cohesive.
Yeah. And what we do is some very extensive outlining where we will have, like, we'll walk through everything together, and if we ever have disagreements on what a character should do at a certain point, we'll kind of just leave it there. As a possibility, right?
We actually did have 3 different endings for the series, pretty much plotted out chapter by chapter. And we couldn't agree on which one to do. We eventually eliminated option C, and then we were kind of at war for a few months about whether it was going to be option A or option B that won out in the end.
And it kind of
combined them both, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's been cool is I think that that's helped our characters feel more alive because there really is the possibility that they could change. Uh-huh. And so we leave it to the characters to decide by the time we get there. And we've had it resolve every single time. When we get to any point of where we were disagreeing, we're like, okay, yep, nope, the momentum is pushing towards this direction or the other, right? Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So honestly, that's been kind of the biggest struggle, is getting the kids to be quiet in the back of the car so we can be up front outlining.
Yeah.
We outline a lot. So
you drive. Okay, they're asleep. Let's talk now.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The nap time, like, we get that baby down and it's like, go, go, go. We've got a very short window here. Get the 3-year-old. Let's get the 3-year-old watching Bluey and let's go. Mm-hmm.
We should have started writing books before we had kids.
But we didn't know. We didn't know what we wanted to do until suddenly there's a kid and we can't.
Because we were doing the screenwriting stuff before. And then it kind of landed right in tandem with COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, now
let's get serious about that book we've been talking about forever. Yeah,
because it's going to be infinitely harder for us to go through and produce our dreams of screenwriting stuff. Like, now there's all of these hurdles being put into place for being able to make a production actually happen. And it just bottlenecked even harder on who's going to be able to get theirs produced.
Exactly. So, and we were actually going to jump right into acting more so at the beginning of COVID. We had a house lined up in LA. We were going to move there. We were going to make it happen. But then literally
2 weeks before the shutdown,
we had a house lined up, and then the shutdowns happened and we couldn't move to LA. And so we were like, we're kind of stuck here. Mm. Let's do some writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we used a lot of Brandon Sanderson's courses on YouTube to help us figure out how to transition the good story development sort of stuff we had learned in college and transition that onto the page rather than just writing scripts, writing things more like a movie. And so I think, or more like a novel. And so I think that that's translated into our books being very fast paced and very cinematic. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of readers who seem to like that, but there's been a few.
A couple who's like, it moves too fast. And I'm like, great.
They're like, it's like reading a movie and that's a bad thing. And I'm like, that sounds awesome to me. Like,
yeah. I mean, you might not want to, I don't know how to talk. I don't words.
Oh, no worries.
You might not be thinking, I really want to be trapped in this book. But when you pick up a book and it just pulls you in, that's an enjoyable experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Yeah. It's not like people, you don't really finish a book like that and then complain like, oh, that was awful.
Exactly.
Except for that one guy, our first one star review that actually gave us a rating. I think it's still our only one. Said
the only one who actually wrote anything. Yeah.
It was one star, and he said
it was titled. The review was titled "These Authors Haven't Grown Up," and then the review said, "The perfect read for middle school hoodlums." It was great.
And I was like,
"That's kind of true."
You could make that a 5-star rating and say and the exact same words.
The authors haven't grown up. The perfect read for middle school hoodlums. 100%. Could go either way.
But this guy was mad about
it. He did not like it. That's okay. It's gotten a lot more people to give it a chance, mm-hmm. though. So honestly, I'm grateful for that guy. And the best part is he went and bought the second book and read that one and left another 1-star review about how juvenile it was. I was like, guy, come on. You're clearly into it.
He had to know. You pulled him so hard through the first book, he had to go through the second book.
He had to.
That's right.
Oh, and that's the other thing about our series. Let's just to explain really quick. So book one follows Asher. Here, you hold him. And then book two follows a different character named Malaya, because we wanted to kind of get the guy's perspective, the girl perspective. And then the third book, they come together. Mm-hmm. And every other chapter they trade off. So it was a risky move. Like, our editor, after reading through the second book, he's like, it is so risky of you to take this cast from book one that we love and have gotten super into and then push them kind of to the side with only a few overlaps for book two with a whole new cast. And he's like, but it worked. It paid off, and 100% it makes sense. And then book three, it just makes that all the sweeter when they finally like clash. So
Do you ever read Animorphs?
I read a little bit of Animorphs, but man, I am rusty. I know who Tobias is, and that's about. And I know what an Andalite is.
You're rusty on Animorphs.
Yeah, of course.
You made me think of it with the characters switching off. Of course, with those most books, it was one character point of view for the entire book. Next book was a different character. Next book was a different character. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the series, they switched off.
Oh, cool.
That's cool. There you go. Yeah, it's a fun format. It makes it kind of ramp up a little bit. There's going to be actually one more book in the Skystone Chronicles that's coming out this year, 2025.
And speaking of Animorphs, our dragon, the main character's dragon in book one, has kind of a scythe tail like an Andalite.
Oh, there we go.
But he can launch it and regrow it. It's super fun.
I don't know what that word means.
But all the Animorphs people are going to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Nice. And then the launch and regrow, that's X-Men. There's a character, I think they call him Spike,
yeah
that checks out.
Yeah, it's a similar sort of power that this
so it's a Andalite Spike X-Man thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you intrigued?
Okay. Well yeah, what other questions was I thinking of? You guys have a high energy.
You off talking about?
No, it's fine.
Actors.
I guess that's probably what comes across on the page.
It's very, very fun. Yeah.
Probably true.
And another fun fact, we read our own audiobook too, because we were voice actors trained in college. So we were like, let's make this happen. We read our own audiobook. And so the fun part is he does all the male voices. I do all the female voices. So, you know.
All the way throughout.
All the way throughout.
Not just on perspective chapters.
Yeah, exactly.
You never have to listen to me start talking really high like this and take me seriously as a woman.
What a good love interest. Yeah, no. And you don't have to hear me do this. So it's for the best.
Okay. Yeah. I'm listening to Wind and Truth right now.
Nice.
Stormlight 5. And it sounds like Kate Reading might have, I don't know, might have been sick or something between book four and book five. Her voice sounds a little different, but I hear what you're saying, like when she does that, but they do a good job, and I don't really think about
awesome, and I think it's awesome. I think it's really hard sometimes to focus on, like, I hate it when guys will do like a girl voice and they're trying to be like this beautiful love interest and they're like, no, this is how a girl talks and I sound really tired. Nope. It's hard for me to take it seriously.
And we just figured, since we have both of us,
we might as well.
And we're used to directing one another.
Yeah.
I think it's made our performances in our audiobook better too, because we'll be in the same room at the same time reading through the book. It's also helped us catch errors. Uh-huh.
And true, catching make errors. Sure that... And then playing off of the energy, because then it's just more of an acting experience, because we're in the same room together having dialogue back and forth, and it just, the energy flows a lot better, I think, than what if we were to do it by ourselves. So mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
And then going back, remembering something, I wanted to ask, can you show us, maybe you can't show us, but can you tell us about your illustrating process? Like I saw on Instagram, you were using some cool tools.
Yeah, where she did the breakdown in Procreate that showed kind of a movie of the process.
Yeah, so the app I use will just export one of those videos. Uh-huh. I've been meaning to. Oh no, it's dead.
Is it dead?
It's dead. Let's plug it in real quick.
Yeah, we'll give it. We'll talk about something else for a couple minutes, and then it'll be back online.
Just, you can just set it to record everything you do, right? And then.
So it just automatically records everything that it does and stuff. It just takes the data. There's like a little export video option. You can export the 30-second version or the full version. For the video I posted on Instagram, I exported the full version and then just took some highlights because it was forever long. Because I spent a long time in that picture.
Yeah, there's an art to editing those videos down to the parts that are important for people to see.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's see. I don't even know what to pull up here. I don't want to give any spoilers. I've got a lot of, I do fan art of our story sometimes, and I don't want to pull up a spoiler on accident.
Oh, try one of the, how about that?
This is the one I put on Instagram already.
Do you want to do the other variant?
No, it's not ready.
Okay.
It's not ready. Oh, it's trying. It's still warming up.
So something fun. I worked in advertising for a couple of years right out of college. And so that has enabled us to kind of pivot that knowledge that I learned at the advertising agency I was at into marketing our books. And fortunately, I have access to an incredible artist who's able to make variations of our ads to make things more interesting, let us test which one's working better for people. And that is part of what we have been doing. Mm-hmm. We'll have Raven and I will try to think which one's going to catch people's attention better. And then we'll almost kind of compete on which one is going to be better and which one we like better and which one we think everyone else is going to like better. And that has led to some really cool stuff.
Yeah. It's a fun time. Okay. So I don't know how well we're gonna be able to see this, but so here's the picture that I posted the process video on the old Instagram. So yeah, we've got all these layers here that are all the different things that I've tried. A lot of layers that are turned off because I failed and didn't look good, but yeah.
How's this? Better?
A little bit. Anyway,
there's some good ring light action.
So yeah, I draw everything on Procreate. There's probably more professional ways to do it, but who cares as long as it looks good in the end, right?
Yeah. I really envied the video because I don't have software that will do that for me currently.
Mm. Oh yeah.
It's so nice. It's so nice.
I mean, maybe I could. I just need to do some research and see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that was part of what drew us to the iPad was Procreate's ability to like just do so many interesting things.
Oh yeah.
Like and the Apple Pencil was just super
good. The Apple
good.
Pencil is the best one. I like the way it's pressure sensitive. I tried Microsoft stuff and it just wasn't working for me. I've seen other people succeed greatly with it, but for me the Apple Pencil is the best thing. And then I love being able to airdrop the picture straight from my iPad to my laptop without losing as much quality as if I were to send it through anything. So it's been good for me.
Do you do some of your
I have a drawing monitor.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
That's me.
Hey.
And you know, pen input for it, but that's a relatively inexpensive thing, and the nub of the pen isn't terribly. It's not terribly fine. Like if I want to get really detailed, it's kind of limited. I also have a laptop, with live pen compatible screen. So I got a live pen for it. And
nice.
It's pretty good. But I haven't dug into like what software to use to really unlock.
Yeah.
I bet you could screen record something as you were drawing it, but it would be harder to edit together than what Procreate spits out.
Well, and I can screen record already. I'm using OBS Studio right now. Like I mentioned that I'm using my phone as my webcam. I'm using Samsung DeX to show the phone's camera output. And then I'm using OBS Studio to grab from Samsung DeX to grab whatever that's showing. And boom, there's my webcam. So I can screen record, but it might be ungainly. Like it's going to grab like these pixels over here that aren't doing anything. And it's going to dutifully record those away. And I don't need those. Something made for it would be better, where it's going to record, oh, you did this stroke of the pen. We're going to record that.
Exactly.
Okay. There's nothing new happening over here.
Just automatically does it. I'll have, like, because I opened that picture probably, like, you know, 100 different times over the course of a week or whatever.
Yeah. And wow. I hadn't even thought, like, I was thinking, like, so you're working, you're like, oh, got to go do something. And you walk away and you come back and you continue working. For the recording, nothing happened. You didn't walk away. So, but you're saying like multiple sessions, like, oh,
exactly.
It's bedtime, and you come back in the morning and you pick up and the recording that it produces, there's no.
Yep. It's just all seamless.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
It's very nice.
It's especially helpful in the era of AI. Right.
Oh yeah.
Where we're able to be like,
look, it's a real artist, and here's the proof.
We literally did this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I do stuff with GIMP. Are you familiar with GIMP? Okay.
Yeah, GIMP's fun.
So I recently produced page overlays for Kickstarter backers. I ran a Kickstarter for my first book last year.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
And these page overlays were pain, and I tried printing them at home. I did some printing at home. Sometimes it was successful, and sometimes, as you can see, so this, you know, this is transparent. I'm gonna put a piece of paper, you can see those lines. So that was annoying. Now my Kickstarter backers knew this ahead of time, knew that I was going to lean on AI for this, but you can't just go and get a nicely tailored scene by saying, here's the scene, this is what's going on, this is what it looks like, now spit it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Uh-huh. It'll never be exactly like, right. Yeah.
This image right here is like 4 or 5 separate AI-generated images, maybe even 6 or 7, layered and pieced together, and then modified. So let me I'm gonna open up one of these files. I have so many folders on my computer.
I feel that.
Yeah, all the stuff, we get that.
Yep.
Again, just
while you're looking that up, Raven also made.
Yeah, I saw the t-shirts.
Uh-huh. Oh, made the logos and everything.
The old Skystone t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so maybe you've seen my Grand Hill Media logo.
Oh yeah.
It's the triangle with the rounded ends, and there's the rose in the middle.
Yeah.
But the
nice.
Apart from the rose and the triangle with its different parts, I did that in Microsoft Word.
Nice.
Because
advanced techniques
because GIMP,
here. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Because,
I would not have guessed.
Yeah, GIMP does bitmap. And so everything is either going to be aliased or anti-aliased, or it's going to like show heavy pixels. And you can do vector graphics in Microsoft Word.
Wow!
Nice.
Actually, no, the rose I drew in Microsoft Word as well.
Oh, nice.
That is so funny. But it reminds me of back in the old days, like in junior high, I would spend like hours on Microsoft Paint back in the day, just drawing stuff. It was so bad, but you know, it's all training in the
end. How you got good, right?
Oh, that is funny.
Okay. I'm in the folder. Here is that file. Now let me...
And that's cool that you're making so many of your own art assets. I didn't realize that.
That is cool. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I hired the book covers and that was it.
You got to hire out some stuff for sure. We pretty much do everything by ourselves except for editing. We definitely hired an editor. Our editor's a genius. Hey, look at
that. So here we are. And I have to... Okay. So this is, you know, that... Also, it's modified, you know, because the colors weren't right. And I drew the mist around because it was foggy in this scene.
Nice.
So there's the main character and she's looking at this. There's the unicorn back there. His name is Hronimon.
Nice.
But that was its own image. And then there's this boulder, which is actually a chunk of the mountain that I rotated and,
Yeah.
Oh, so nice.
That wasn't its own AI generated image. It was part of the mountain. And I just manipulated it. This group of bad guys is actually two groups of bad guys. And they're at the wrong angle. If you look at
they're leaning. Yeah.
They're definitely leaning. This guy's like floating, maybe.
Maybe.
But it's small. You can't see that. Unless you're zoomed in on the original software that produced it. But yeah, there's one group of bad guys, another group of bad guys that I put in there, and I had to put the mist in front of them. And then that bit of slope wasn't there, but I needed something for them to be walking on.
So that the character could be in the foreground.
Yeah, it looks pretty dang cool.
The whole background was not a single thing either. So this was something, and this was something, and this is a copy of that.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, from what I can see, you brought it together pretty well.
Well, thanks.
Nice.
But,
cool.
Yeah. I do some fiddling with images. I haven't done a ton of my own drawing yet, but I do as necessary to generate these things. And this was, another overlay that didn't really turn out well. I was trying to get the printer settings to work. In the end, the ones that I sent to my backers were printed at Staples. Vellum is a pain to print on.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I've never tried that, is it?
Hello there, unicorn.
Hey.
So. Nice.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's enough show and tell for right now.
Hey, it's fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Great chat. A little aimless, but that's fine.
It was fun. I love talking about books. It's my favorite thing.
Dragons and draconic people and formatting and illustrating and screenwriting. Of course, at Halloween, you say that you studied screenwriting, right?
Hey, there you go.
That's good.
Love it.
All right.
Missed opportunities.
Well, I would like to invite you to create a character, if you would like, to include in future Nightshade Unicorn books. I don't promise to use this character much, and I reserve the right to modify as necessary to fit the character into my world. And I won't promise that it'll appear more than once. And that once might just be in passing. You know, like, you look and down at the end of the alley, there was this guy. And then they continued on, you know? So maybe it'll just be like that, but maybe more. If you'd like to create a character, I'll include this character. You can make up a name or a physical description or a personality or all of the above.
How fun. Awesome.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. We have to do it right now.
Sorry if I was unclear. That was Maya thinking. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. On the spot. Let's do this.
Oh boy. Okay.
I want to roll dice for this.
I know. I feel like I got to get a character sheet out here. Dice?
Where's my...
I think they're all in the bedroom where the baby's sleeping.
I might have a...
Well, I can roll dice for you. That's on okay.
We'll
the computer.
We'll use our own brains. We'll use our brains. We'll be creative.
Oh, yeah. We can do that. Yeah. Let's see. So.
Okay. How about.
How many sides does this die have?
Oh, who knows?
I don't know. It might be too freeing for me. Let's just think of it.
Think of it.
Okay. Let's make it an old lady.
I was thinking the same.
Okay. Your turn. What's next?
Hunched.
A hunched
like
old lady.
Baba Yaga looking. Like with a like a shawl over her hair.
Okay.
She has a thick accent. And she has a little basket full of something. What does she have? What's in the basket?
Turnips. Yeah. Okay.
She's selling turnips.
Yep. She is a
turnip seller. Very, very cute and very nice. She's like the grandma that everyone wishes they had, but she's a crazy old turnip lady.
Okay.
You want to name her?
Let's go with what kind of like languages do you draw from? Oh,
yeah,
in your
like
book?
What cultures
are yours more in the Nordic vibe, the Germanic? What?
Well, I don't know. It's I haven't been terribly clear, and I've so far I have not left the same country. I've left a region. So like. Where Alavva comes from, the food is described, and it's pretty Western European or American-ish at this one feast. Okay, and then cool. She travels to this other place. It's still within the empire, but in this new place, they eat a lot more pasta and a lot more seafood. And then she just left that place. So
okay.
Now like possibilities are open once again.
Okay.
So
well, we said she has that thick accent, so she could be from somewhere
far away.
Maybe
I'm feeling Eastern European on this lady.
Okay.
Maybe it's just the Baba Yaga vibes of being a little
true.
Old lady.
Well, we could just name her Baba or Bobby.
Bobby,
Bobby is cute. B-A-B-I. Unless you change it because you do what you want. I don't know. What do you think? Should that be Bobby, the old lady, the old turnip lady who is very friendly and likes to sell turnips to a random stranger?
Uh-huh. Or maybe something like Emanushka.
Manushka.
Emanushka.
Emanushka.
Yeah.
M. Granny M. Her name can be Granny M.
For short. Because the Nushka is hard to say.
The Nushka is hard to say. Okay. Granny Emanushka, but you call me Granny M.
All right.
Take what you want from that.
Uh-huh. All right, yeah.
That was fun.
She's seen unicorns, though.
Oh, she's seen.
Yes. Actually, that's not terribly uncommon in this world. Most people have seen a unicorn at some point.
Oh, perfect. Cool.
Perfect. So,
I'm going to have to, we'll have to pick up
that's,
book.
That's the whole
fun.
Thing.
Oh, like, haven't had a chance
everybody's seen a unicorn. Everybody knows, like, they're nice. They're gentle. They're all white. They're all female. So like this nightshade unicorn story, obviously false, right? We meet him in the prologue of the first book. So he does exist.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah.
Nice. So.
That's so cool.
That's
dude.
Super fun. And what age range is your book targeted towards?
It's YA. Nice. My first reader was 12 when she read it last year. My daughter.
Oh,
awesome.
Nice.
Oh, that's so good, dude.
I love it. That's so fun. Yeah.
That's cool. And you said you had three as well?
Three kids, yeah.
Yeah, and oldest was 12?
Yeah,
and...
she's 13 now. And the youngest is 5. And
cute.
Oh, nice. Kind of out of the woods there now.
I know. I'm excited for my youngest to be 5.
Yeah, out of the baby woods and into a whole new kind of forest.
New forest, yes.
That's awesome, yeah. Dude.
Well, stick around after I hit stop on the recording, but thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time on the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast.